Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 this morning. We continue in our series on spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let me read the passage for us as we get going here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. All right, why are we doing this series on spiritual warfare? Basically, so that we can stand. So that we can stand in the evil day and stand against the schemes of the devil. What does it mean to stand? To stand means to not quit. Many people begin the Christian life and then they quit. We want to not quit, but not only not quit, we want to take ground. We don't want to be passive or indifferent to the calling that God has in our life. We want to stand, not quit, and to take some ground. But if we're going to take ground, that means we're going to have to come under the barrage of the enemy. And so we're going to need some armor. Amen? Now, of course, this is an extended metaphor, so hopefully you can understand it in spite of that. But if we're going to not quit, if we're going to advance, if we're going to persevere, even under the barrage of enemy fire, we're going to need some armor. And then we're going to need to put that armor on. There's a lot of people that don't have any armor. They don't have Christ, nor do they have any of the resources that come from Christ. But then there's a lot of Christians who do have Christ and have the resources available to them, but they aren't making use of them. You understand what I mean? We have to not only have the resources that are available to us in Christ, but we have to, by a decision of the will, by an act, by an exercise of faith, we have to utilize those resources. We have to receive them. We have to, so to speak, put on that armor. And today we're going to talk about one particular part of the armor, and that is the shield of faith. If you're a Christian, you have a shield, but you may or may not be deploying the shield. Make sense? We're going to talk about the shield of faith. It's in verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Take it up. You have it. Take up the shield of faith, which with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So, before we talk about shields, let's talk about darts. Metaphorically, Paul is referring to a javelin. And when I read the word dart, I think of a very small, pointed object, not very deadly, like a throwing dart, you know, backyard party game. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a flaming spear or a flaming javelin, 6 foot, 7 feet tall, long pike with a point on the end. The metal head of the javelin would have been wrapped in some sort of a cloth and dipped in bitumen or some other flammable liquid, and then lit on fire and then launched from the high fortress walls of a fortress or of a castle. And the idea is that this flaming material, once it explodes into the front lines of the advancing soldiers, explodes like a Molotov cocktail, and that bits of cloth and liquid stick on people all around and catch people on fire. It's a weapon of terror, sort of a weapon designed to evoke fear, panic. So here I am, I just became a Christian, and I'm ready to fight for the kingdom of Jesus. We're at the gates of hell. We're storming the gates. And what does Jesus say about the gates of hell? They cannot withstand the advance of the kingdom. Amen? Even the gates of hell cannot withstand. And here we are. We're at the kingdom. We're at the gates of hell, and I'm ready, and I'm excited, and I'm singing, and I'm reading my Bible. And then, bang, my friend on my side of me blows up in fire. Explosion everywhere. People are on fire, and there they are. They're roasting in flames. I'm filled with terror. Filled with terror. I want to just quit. I'm tired. I'm tired of the advance. Why do we have to get so close? Well, let's just step back to base camp, where things are safe, where no one dies. You know, let's just keep things the way they are. No need to advance. No need to be active in our Christian engagement, in our Christian fight. How many of you have been going on in the Christian life, and then all of a sudden one of your Christian friends goes down in flames? It's terrifying. It evokes fear. It makes you want to quit. It makes you want to give up. It makes you sad and filled with despair. That's what the javelin thrown at the church is, the javelin of Satan, that flaming dart. But in reality, to step outside of the metaphor, in reality, the dart, the javelin that Satan throws at the church, just real quick, if the church doesn't advance, he doesn't really throw too much, right? If you're just going to sit around and do nothing, just sing psalms and just do discipleship, right? And just pray and worship time together, then fine. He's got you right where he wants you. It's when you actually advance. It's when you engage. It's when you reform. It's when you reconstitute society. When you go out there with the gospel of Jesus, that's when the soldiers on the top of the fortress start to throw the javelins. Back off, back off. But if you're advancing, he's going to throw it at you. He's going to throw it at you, and he's going to throw it at you, and he's going to throw it at all of us. And what it really is, in reality, is it's messages. It's words. Words. The devil is an angel. Angel means messenger. The battle that we're fighting is ultimately a battle of words. He's going to throw words at you, messages at you. Like a javelin. It's going to come from outside of you and enter into your heart and into your mind and manifest itself to you as a thought. You have thoughts, don't you? You have thoughts, right? Hopefully you're having thoughts right now. And some of those thoughts are really dark and disturbing, and you don't ever want to tell anyone those thoughts. Okay? Some thoughts, they bubble up from the San Andreas fault of sin in our own hearts. Just this creature from the Black Lagoon just comes up out of your heart and into your mind, and you think, oh my goodness, how could I have thought something so vile? We're all capable of that. There is a residual of sin in our own hearts that can still produce evil, dark thoughts. Amen? Yeah. But I'm talking about the thoughts that don't originate from within you, but originate from outside of you and are thrown into you. That's a flaming dart. That's a flaming dart. When Eve was in the garden and passively minding her own business, I suppose, gazing up at the fruit, noticing how beautiful it was, the devil came to her, and you remember what he threw at her? It was a message. It was a message. It was a thought. God said this. Did he really say this? It was a doubt in particular. It was a twisting of the word of God. It was a lie. It was a deception. And that message of the devil, the angel, entered into her heart and mind, penetrated her heart and mind, and she received it, so to speak. She didn't have her guard up. She didn't have a shield up. She didn't have her husband there to correct that particular thought and to dispel it. And so she received that thought, and the whole world was turned and twisted into darkness because of a thought thrown from the devil outside, inside of Eve. You see? You see what I'm talking about? That's what a javelin is. Have you ever had that happen to you? Where this is not just a metaphor. This is not just a metaphor about Roman soldiers. This is about real life. Thoughts come into your mind that did not originate from you, but that, Paul is telling us, oftentimes originate from invisible spiritual beings. Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me? Jesus was in the wilderness. He's starving. He's hungry. 40-day fast, following the Father's will, obeying the Father's will, hungry because of the Father's will. And what does the devil come and say to him? It's a message. It's a word. If you are the Son of God. If. See, that's a dart. That's a flaming javelin. If I am the Son of God. Get that if out of here. I am the Son of God. He loves me. If God loved you, if you really did have this status, if your identity really was in the Father, and if you were special to him, you know, well, then he obviously would want you to turn this stone into bread. No, get your if out of here. Get your doubt out of here about my identity and how much the Father loves. See, that's a message that was thrown at Jesus. That's what a javelin is. And there's different types of them. There's temptations. Who here has had a temptation come at them from outside and enter into their heart and into their mind? They sometimes originate from inside, but then they sometimes when you least expect it, they originate from outside. A temptation thrown into you. Or an accusation. Right. An accusation. Oh, you are this, you are that. God thinks of you in this way. You stand condemned. What is the devil? He is the accuser. So very often the prosecutorial angel sends accusations into your heart and into your mind. And he throws doubts at you too. Children, the devil will throw doubts into your hearts and mind about your parents, about your friends. Church members, he will throw doubts into your mind about your own pastors, about your Christian friends. And he will throw doubts into your mind about whether or not God loves you and whether or not he forgives you or forgives that particular sin or whether or not you are who you really are in Christ. Doubts will come into your heart and into your mind. Slanders, lies, slanders about God. If he loved you, then you'd be married by now. If he loved you, you'd have children. If he loved you, you wouldn't have this sickness or this affliction or the suffering. That's the flame of the javelin. It's a lie. It's a slander. Not only slanders about God, but slanders about you and slanders about those people around you that God has sent to care for you. Those are the types of darts that he throws at us. Is that real life? Is that real life? Help me out here. Wake up now. Come on. Come on. I'm a human too. I need affirmation, right? Amen. Now you're awake. All right. And he throws them with different techniques, right? Different strategies. Any medium by which a message can go into your mind or your heart is a potential medium for the devil to use to fire his javelin, okay? So it can be directly, I believe. You know, one time I woke up, it was first thing in the morning. No one else is around. Didn't come at me through the television screen. It didn't come at me from looking on my phone. I wasn't reading a book. There was no other person in the room, but I was overwhelmed with a sense of dread that God was going to punish me and send me to hell for the sins of my youth. And it just was like a hand on my chest. Very strange experience. And obviously we're talking about mysterious, invisible things, so I will leave the ultimate interpretation of those events to Jesus. But it seemed to me to be a moment in time where accusation was coming into my heart, and I was doubting the promises of Jesus. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You know, my cross and my resurrection and my blood are sufficient for your atonement before the face of God. You no longer stand condemned, but I justify you. Those things were becoming small in my mind, and my sins and the fact that I deserved hell was becoming big in my mind. Have you ever had a moment like that? And it affected me physically and emotionally. I do think it was an episode, if you will, and my wife mentioned to me in that time period, because I was very upset, physically, emotionally. I was very upset. I didn't understand what it was. And she said to me, I think the devil is attacking you right now. And immediately was gone. I said, okay, that's it. All right, get out of here. I stand on the blood of Christ. And I believe at that moment, God reminded me, you know you have a shield, right? Come on. You know you have a shield. You don't have to sit there and be burned up by the doubts of the devil. Put up your shield. And I put up that shield, and immediately it dissipated. I thought, wow, What a lesson. What a lesson. Now, you can see we're talking about difficult things here, and I'm not exactly sure how to interpret it all, but that's how it went down. That's how it went down. A direct attack. A direct attack. So he can just throw that javelin at you directly. I do believe that happens. But it can also come to you through the books that you read, right? That's why you got to be careful about that stuff. Amen? You don't want to just feed your mind on lies, especially if you are not a very advanced soldier. If you're not, you don't know the various wiles and tactics of the devil, you need to probably be careful about how you read, or at least read books with somebody to help you, right? Right? You got to be careful. The movies you watch, television shows, tweets, whatever, messages can come to you through those particular mediums. And they don't have to necessarily be weird, creepy, occultish, dark things. It could just be a message of suspicion about one of your Christian brothers or sisters, right? You just see this thing on Facebook. It seems like they said this, and it seems like someone else said this, and now your heart is filled with suspicion and anxiety and a lack of charity toward that other particular person. Where'd that come from? It came into your mind through that medium, and you have to understand, we wrestle not against flesh and blood ultimately. There are powers at work here, and we need to scrutinize more carefully the thoughts which come into our mind. Amen? Because they might not be true, right? We have to scrutinize. I mean, considering the fact that the whole world was plunged into darkness because of Eve's lack of discernment about a thought going into her mind, wouldn't we learn from that example and scrutinize the thoughts which enter into our hearts and mind? Amen? Amen. They can come to you from, you know, the rumor mill. I think, you know, who's up there? Who's out there in the spiritual realm just stirring up rumor mills? That's the devil. He's like a witch in a cauldron just stirring up the rumor mill. You know, be careful about those things. Amen. We are fighting a real spiritual war here. And if we are at the gates of hell, don't be surprised when these javelins come sticking into various people and we begin to feel these things and they're all around us and people are on fire. Amen? They come through from other Christians sometimes. I remember years back, a Christian said something to me about one of my children that just deeply troubled me. I mean, I was filled with anxiety and despair in that moment, and for hours I was ruined, devastated. And about 3 hours later, I just thought and was like, that's not true. That's not true. I don't know why it took me so long. It fit with my own anxieties, right? It fit with my fears, my own insecurities. It just was like a chink in my armor. It just went right through there, got me right in the heart, and just caused me to despair and to be frustrated with God for like 3 hours until I just stopped and I was like, no, that's not true. That's not true. And it went away just like that. You see, we have to realize that we are fighting a spiritual war. It is a war of words. And these words which come into our mind, these javelins, are very often originating from the devil. Do y'all believe that? Do y'all really believe that? Are we too sophisticated for this? I hope not. I hope not, right? And I'm telling you, there is a satanic base camp out there somewhere, right? In D.C. maybe. I don't know. There is a satanic base camp out there, and there's like demon intelligence officers with maps, right? And your name has come up a time or two, all right? They're looking for targets, right? That's what they do. And your name has come up a time or two. And so you better have a shield, amen? And you better have it up, amen? Amen. Now, you can get stabbed by one of the javelins of the devil and catch on fire, and your whole family can catch on fire. Jesus will come around with that fire extinguisher, and he'll put you out, and he will save you. Amen? He loves you. But let's just not go that way, though. There's an easier route to life, right? And that is to have that shield up preemptively before it comes. And so let's look at that shield, verse 16, one more time. In all circumstances, everything you're doing at all times, every day, in all circumstances, you take up the shield of faith. You mean I got to be holding a shield while I'm baking a cake? Yes, right? I have to be holding a shield while I'm spanking a child? Yes. You know, just, you always need to be holding up a shield, metaphorically, obviously, You need to always be equipped with your shield and deploying it. And this shield of faith is the one with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. You see, the shield that he's talking about was a legionnaire shield. You're probably thinking of the little small round shields. But a legionnaire shield was about this big, right? About 4 or 5 feet tall, and it was rectangular. And it was wrapped usually in leather or something like that so that when the spear came into it, it could, if it was saturated, it could eventually extinguish that particular flame. And you have that shield and you crouch down behind that shield and you get with your other, you know, buddies in arms and you overlap shields and the guys behind you put the shields over the top of your head to form what was called a tortuga or a tortoise. And that tortoise wasn't just so you could sit out in a field and mind your own business. It was so that you could get close to the walls, close to the gates, so that you could advance through the barrage of javelins. You see, we think of a shield as a defensive weapon, and that's true, but it's the point of it is so that you can advance while being under fire. And I think it's a great metaphor for faith. That's what faith is, amen? Faith is crouching down behind Jesus as you advance on enemy territory. I think that's just a great way of saying it. Faith is the deploying of a shield, so to speak, in the direction of the attack and holding it up for an extended period of time until that attack subsides. So you can think of this thought coming at you. It can come through from other Christians. You know, remember what Jesus said to Peter? Remember when Jesus called Peter Satan? Right, it's not very nice if you ask me, but get behind me, Satan, because Satan can use people, Satan can use the rumor mill, Satan can use media, Satan can come at you directly, but you get behind Christ in those moments, and you point Christ in the general direction of the attack, and you hold it up for an extended period of time until the attack subsides, because you don't always have a javelin coming at you. It comes and it goes. There's seasons of it. Remember from last Sunday, the evil day. There's seasons of it. And when that comes, you need to have it up. And there's going to be a moment of terror, and it's going to be difficult. And you're going to hold that shield up, and you're going to hold the line. You're going to keep advancing with your people. That's what it means to have faith. The world thinks of faith as positive vibes. And for those of you who are new to Christ Church, everyone who's been at Christ Church for a long time knows this, but faith is not positivity. Amen? Faith is not, don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. You've heard that from a famous philosopher of yesteryear. That's not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is a act of the will, really. I was thinking my son, when he was little, he would get the Rubbermaid lids off those containers, and he would make a shield out of it and pretend to fight his friends, the Rubbermaid shield. And I thought, you know, that's probably what positive thoughts are like in the fight against the devil, right? You know, positive vibes are as good against the javelins of the devil as a Rubbermaid lid is to an assault rifle. I think that's about right. It's not positive thinking. That's not what faith is. Faith is ducking down behind Christ, our shield, and marching forward in spite of enemy fire, onward to victory. Amen. Now listen, I want to be practical. I want you to understand how this works. You can break it up into three categories. We're supposed to hold up faith, right? That's what we're doing. Faith in Christ, who is our shield. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we fight these thoughts coming into our hearts and our minds, right? That are always coming into our hearts and our minds. Doubts, lies, slanders, anxieties, fears, accusations. That's coming in here. We hold up Christ. But let's break this into three categories to understand it more clearly. We break it up into the person of Christ, into the promises of Christ, and the accomplishments of Christ. All right, are y'all paying attention? Are y'all listening? You're going to need this pretty soon. I bet you. You're going to need it. Like I said, there is an enemy base camp out there, and your name has come up. You're going to need this. Some of y'all are not going to believe it. You're going to just have to go through it the hard way. That's fine. All right? But faith in the person of Christ, all right? That means ultimately what we're talking about is that when we are going through spiritual war, the personal being of Christ, God, is here with us. Amen? That's ultimately what we're talking about. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is here at all times. He is here. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The personal being of Christ. So when we're going through trial of any kind, first and foremost, what you need to do is go to Christ, cry out to Christ in prayer, Jesus, help me, right? Michael the archangel didn't even try to fight the devil. What Michael the archangel did was he said, may the Lord rebuke you. See, we appeal to the person of Christ who is with us and who has power as our creator and our sustainer. And he can defeat the devil, amen? So that's first step. First step is the person of Christ who you have a living relationship with and you are accustomed to speaking to. Amen? Okay. But then secondly, it's the promises of Christ. Not too long ago, I decided I was going to read the Bible from cover to cover. But this time, I was going to do something different. I was going to write down all the promises. I got to about halfway through Genesis 2. And I realized I'm just rewriting the whole Bible, right? I can't do this. It's like every verse was either a promise or alluded to a promise or was built on some promise. I was like, because it's a covenant document that he's given to the church. I mean, it's just a giant promise. There's so many promises from Jesus in the Bible to you. And you see the messages of the devil, they're nuanced. There's a variety. Doubts, slanders, lies, temptations. There's a variety, and that's probably just one, a few of many, but there are promises which neutralize those particular messages. You understand what I mean? When I was told a condemning thought about one of my children that troubled me and despaired me, I appealed to the promise that I will be God to you and God to your children after you, and I pleaded that promise, and the shield of faith went up, and the doubt subsided. And the anxiety melted away. You understand what I'm saying? There are promises in the scripture which are particularly useful for particularly nuanced attacks from the devil. You hold up a promise. There's a lot of promises in the scripture. Amen? You read them. You receive them. You meditate on them day and night so that when the attack comes, they are ready right there on the tip of your tongue to be deployed in the direction of the attack and held there for a sustained period of time until the attack subsides. But then there's also faith in the accomplishments of Christ. So it's the person of Christ first and foremost, but then it's all the words that kind of come out of his mouth, the promises. Amen? And then there's the accomplishments of Christ, the things that he did on our behalf to save us years back. He came and became a man. He lived a perfect life. When the devil is coming at you and he's got your record, look at this record right here. Look at your rap sheet. You think you're going to heaven? You think he loves you and your family? Look at your rap sheet. You don't deserve anything but hell. Have you ever heard that from the devil before? Yeah, absolutely. He doesn't have a plan for your life. He does not have promises for you. That's when you hold up the promises of Christ, but you also hold up the accomplishments of Christ, who lived a perfect life and has a perfect record. Amen? And the Bible says that if you believe on Christ, his record will be given to you. You say, well, of course, devil. You're not wrong. But what of it? The record of Christ has been imputed to my account. I don't stand before God because I have a good record. I stand before God because Christ has a perfect record. And the accusations of the devil are dispelled. You see, he really doesn't have any real weapons. All he has are his lies. And if you can have the promises, and if you understand the accomplishments of Christ, you can resist the devil and he will flee. Just like that. Like I woke up two nights ago at 5 a.m., walked up into my storage room, there was a raccoon in there. I was like, hey, get out of here. It's out of there. If you have the promises and you have the accomplishments and you know how to deploy them, he's gone. He has no real weapons against you. Right? You're declared innocent before the court of heaven. You're not wearing a jumpsuit. You're wearing the robes of the king. And yes, the prosecutor's still over there saying stuff, but the judge isn't listening, and you shouldn't listen either. You have to know the promises. You have to know the accomplishments. Not only did he live a perfect life, and that perfect record can be imputed to you through faith, he died the death on the cross that you deserve to die. He died on the cross to shed his blood to make atonement for you so that you and God can be right. Then he went to the grave and fought Hades and defeated death and was raised up from the dead, ascended up into heaven where he now rules and reigns and is defeating all of his enemies and will one day return back. Amen? You see, if you know his accomplishments, you can apply those to the evil thoughts of the devil. If you know his promises, you can apply those to the evil thoughts of the devil. And if you know that he is with you and you appeal to his person and to his power in prayer, he will be with you and the devil will be defeated. So let's practice. Y'all ready? Soldiers, you have your shields? Are you ready? A doubt comes. I hold up the cross. I hold up the cross. I believe on the cross, and I remind myself, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Affliction comes, suffering. I hold up the promise, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. May my fears subside, my anxieties subside. You know, let me just give you a little secret here. You want to know what biblical counseling is? What pastors do, all we do when you meet with us about the particular issues that we have, that you have, we just hand you a shield. That's all we're doing. We know the Bible. We're like supply sergeants that we've been walking around in the arsenal for quite many years, so we kind of know where things are. Like some people at Lowe's, they just know where things are, right? Like we know the Bible better so that if you're like, I'm struggling with this particular thing, wait right there, one moment. We go back into the storehouse, we grab that one thing, and we bring it to you. There you go. Now, you, of course, have to receive it, and you have to deploy it. That's really all pastors do. Like, that's really what pastoral counseling is. You can do that for yourself. Here comes the slander dart. You know, people are saying this about me and thinking this about me, and there's a bad reputation here and there. What is it? What does God say? What does the promise say? I will honor those who honor me. So God says. So if you have the honor of God, you don't need the honor of men. Amen. Or the accusation dart becomes, no, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. You see, that's how it works. That's how it works. And the cool thing about this is if you don't feel like you're very good at it right now, you can get better. That's the cool thing about faith is that it grows. But how does faith grow? Only as you grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord. You have to grow in the knowledge of Scripture, which is why you should be in Sunday school. We should be meeting in here for Sunday school so that you could grow another 52 hours a year in the knowledge of the Lord. You see what I mean? You grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And you study the Bible, and you attend to the teaching of the Bible, and you read the Bible, and you meditate on the Bible, and that way you know more promises. The more promises you know, the stronger you are to defeat the lies of the devil. The more you know about his accomplishments, the more strong you are to defeat the lies of the devil. You see what I mean? Who here can tell me the significance of Jesus Christ's ascension? Who here? No, I didn't. That's rhetorical. Who? Do you know the promises that Jesus has not only for you, but for your family, right? You can grow in your faith as you grow in your knowledge of the word of God, and your shield can get bigger and bigger and bigger so that you can advance more and more and more. That's what we want as a church. When I was 10 years old, the thing I wrestled with more than anything is I thought I was going to go to hell, right? I was baptized. And I was a Christian, but I would have nightmares about going to hell. And I wrestled with that, with doubt. Now that doubt was demonic in some sense, but I also think I didn't know enough about the scriptures. In fact, I was deluded really by false teaching. And when you're deluded by false teaching, it's really hard to deploy the resources that Christ has for you. I was told that if I don't confess all my sins, I was going to go to hell. But I knew in my heart, I don't know all my sins. I don't even know all my sins. How can I confess them? I was always very rational about it, right? I knew that if I believed on Jesus with my whole heart, I would be saved. But I knew my heart was never whole. I knew that my motivations were always sus, right? You understand what I'm saying? I just had doubt all the time. And it was when I was taught more about the Bible, but in particular, more about who Jesus is, what his promises are for me, and his accomplishments on my behalf. The more I learned about that, the more my faith grew, and I no longer had to wrestle with such a rudimentary doubt. It's hard to fight the battle and to advance on the kingdom of Satan if you're just worried about going to hell all the time. You got to get past that at some point. You need the assurance of salvation. The only way that grows is if you grow in the knowledge of Scripture. Amen? Just one example, but I hope you will purpose in your heart to attend to the teaching of the Word, read the Word, study the Word, and deploy that shield as you get it. Amen?